This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
And there's only one thing that I'm afraid of, and that's the people in elected office taking away my rights. I'm not afraid of the crook that's going to come to my door, because if my dogs don't get him, I will. And it's my job to defend myself. It's not your job to protect me. It's not your job to defend me. It's your job to protect the Constitution and protect my rights to defend myself.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com. Hello. Anyway, had to do a little sneeze break there because, you know, the coronavirus is everywhere. Anyway, the hoax continues here on Agenda 21 Radio. No, we're not hoaxing you. No. We're not part of the World Health Organization or the United Nations or the president's staff who have been informing him about this hoax. And we want you to continue the hoax, Mr. President. And I have a feeling that the president is about to act on something. That's just a little bit of information to kind of cue you up for what we're going to be talking about in this hour. Last hour, we're talking about the coronavirus hoax that we so aptly coined back in the first week in March. It's the numbers just didn't add up then, and boy, the numbers aren't adding up right now. All we need to do is take a look at Mercy and Comfort on each coast, and just very few patients. The overwhelming numbers of people that are supposed to be there, they're not. It's not happening. Somebody didn't do the calculation correctly to lie. Anyway, we got a lot of things other than that. We're going to be talking about Gavin Newsom, and of course, he proclaimed that there'd be 25.5 million Californians that would come down with the coronavirus, and right now I think we might have about a couple thousand statewide in that great big white ship that the president provided for relief has about 15 patients on it out of 1,000 beds. You know, the calculation here is just really off, and of course, to share his thoughts with us is Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show. on Red State Talk Radio, of course, the Talk Monster. We're emanating from our studios in Washington, D.C., where Scott is right now. And, Scott, can you give us a kind of a primer on what's going on? I mean, you know, you've been leading the way with everybody else on Red State Talk Radio about the hoax. Looks more and more like a hoax every day, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Paul. Thank you for having me on. I will tell you that those numbers are far different now. Broken models. Over at the Gateway Pundit says the CDC doctor screwed up bigly. U.S. naval ship Comfort in New York Harbor sits idle with three patients. U.S. naval ship Mercy in L.A. has only 15 patients. The Jacob Javits Center is, I believe, it's empty still. It has 2,900 beds.
Yeah.
There are empty hospitals everywhere. And I was just watching Jason Goodman last night on his live feed. He was walking around New York. He noticed a couple of things. There was no helicopters flying overhead.
Shocking.
They were before, and it was related to something. There's something in the mix here, is what they're suggesting, that something might be happening that's outside of this pandemic. But in addition to that, what you notice is that all the ambulances, now they were calling for, we need more ambulances. Well, there are empty ambulances sitting idle, parked, like 9 or 10 at every hospital in New York that aren't even being used. But the one deafening thing, because I used to live in New York City, and I can tell you that it's really odd that you're not hearing any ambulances. Okay, so you're in a pandemic, right? And when there's an emergency, you say everybody has to stay home and you have to wreck our economy and cause 10 million people to lose their jobs. At some point, you would expect to hear an ambulance, like one ambulance. And yeah. Not only that, but I have a listener from Central PA who knows somebody in a Central PA hospital. And let me tell you something. They said it was empty. And then I had a caller call in today and yesterday from Monterey, from California. Husband had to go to the hospital, went to two different hospitals. One, there was two people sitting in the lobby, one, and the other one, it was empty. They were the only ones there. And so when you're walking out and about in New York City, you would at least expect to hear a siren, but you hear nothing.
Right.
It's, and not to mention the fact that, you know, these people that are filming these hospitals everywhere.
Yeah, citizen journalists, and you guys have done a great job on your end. We have a whole bunch of them out here on the West Coast that are doing the same thing.
Right, and just report it. And so it's like what you're seeing, what you're seeing actually in reality is so far different than what the mainstream media is telling you. And then there was this journalist, liberal journalist, that promised that they were going to go out and showcase the hospitals on their own. And everybody started bombarding this Twitter account. I forget who it was, but they were like, well, we're waiting. And of course, they probably went out and they didn't have any footage that they could use because, you know, nothing that they could do. You know, so you have that figure. And a lot of people are saying, you know, if you really want to know what socialism looks like, you're living it right now. This is I have been maintaining is that what we're experiencing right now is pure globalism. It's pure, you know, it's pure.
Well, this is communism, national socialism. You know, it's all the above, because that's what the One World Order business is all about. That's what the United Nations is about. World Health Organizations, one of the tips of their spears to, you know, basically foist all this stuff upon us, cause us to close down our economy, you know, crash the economy. Of course, capitalism is the bane of the socialist Marxist. Yeah, we're living it, Scott. This is what it looks like. You go into stores and all the shelves are empty. You know, that's the opposite of capitalism.
I wrote this. I said, if you want to see what socialism looks like, you're living it. With 10 million people out of work, the death toll from suicides, lack of exercise, and substance abuse will be far greater than the COVID. People know this was a planned attack. Dems exploited it, and it's not Trump's fault. Those are the three things you need to take to the bank.
Right.
People know this was a planned attack, perhaps from China. Dems exploited this as an opportunity. It's going to come back to haunt them, and it's not Trump's fault. And I also said Trump policies stimulated economic growth, manufacturing jobs, stronger middle class, and transferred power from Washington back to you, the people. But the Chinese virus destroyed the economy and transferred power away from the people back to D.C., and now they want to rig your elections. And that's exactly what's in play right now. Looking at this as an opportunity to reverse all the damage all the damage that Trump did to their agenda. And they want to reverse that. And they also want to take power away from you, the people. And they want to isolate you. They want to divide you. And this effort on their part has proven to be very successful. And when you take a look at the bottom line, because anytime you do an investigation, you always got to look at who ended up with the money, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
And at this point, there's nothing about this that is good for Trump in terms of the economy, in terms of power back to the people. This has reversed all the gains that we have had. But we're going to get these gains back. I guarantee
it's going to come back with a vengeance. You know, we're coming up to a break right now. We're talking to Scott Adams, the Scott Adams Show. We're getting kind of the real inside scoop, some more from the East Coast. And, of course, we're on the West Coast. We can kind of give you the balance now because, by the way, hospitals on the West Coast completely empty for the most part. The governor was claiming that there was going to be 25.5 million people infected with it by now. And there's probably maybe 2,000. There's a big disparity.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that possibly pops on. If it, your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
All aboard!
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. Of course, newcaliforniastate.com. newcaliforniastate.com, state of the future. Okay, we've got Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show here with us right now. We're talking about the coronavirus hoax that's been going on for, been perpetuated and foisted upon the President of the United States, which I think is not going to bode well with the President of the United States being informed, misinformed by a cadre of people from really some, well, eminent places, Dr. Fauci and Burke and all these other folks, basically perpetuating a lie that came out of the World Health Organization. And Scott, this is not going to bode well, I don't think, for that crowd.
No, it's not. You know, and the president's already setting them up. He's setting the trap. And I always like to give you credit for the best rope salesman in the world is Donald Trump. And, you know, I got that from you, and it's so true.
We should sell Donald. Well, on Red State Talk Radio, we should sell Donald Trump rope.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. So, you know, last, I would say, you know, about 4 days ago, they had a press conference, and there was a very poignant moment, and they asked the question, and here's the question. I have the transcript, and I'm going to read you what my summation of this was, okay?
All right.
So here's the transcript. It says, question, just to be clear, what is the projected death toll? Should the people be reasonably good at following these mitigation measures? Okay. That was the question. And that was a reporter's question. And the president's answer is this. Well, if they're reasonably good, I guess we could say that, you know, I'd like to have maybe Dr. Fauci or Deborah Birx, come up and say, I mean, I have numbers, but I'd rather have them say the numbers, if you don't mind. It's a big question. Okay, that was his response. And here's my summation, what it means. I said, what it means at real Donald Trump has numbers, but he would rather have Fauci or Birx give you the answer and basically own their data so that once Abbott Labs quick tests that decentralized data away from the liberals at CDC and NIH, which is where Fauci is and where Rod Rosenstein's sister is at CDC.
I'm sorry, Scott, that's just a minor detail. You want to take a second and maybe stretch that one out for the folks?
Well, Nancy Messonnier is the sister of Rod Rosenstein.
She Shocking.
And while Trump was in India, she spun this, this massive a thing that just caused panic around the world and in our country. And then Trump comes back from India and all of a sudden he's got to deal with this mess that Rod Rosenstein's sister created, because the one thing you don't want to do in a pandemic is create more panic than you need. You don't need panic. What you need is to induce a little bit of calmness, because everybody knows a pandemic can be catastrophic. So it doesn't. You don't need to drum it up. You need to play it down. But the mainstream media is doing exactly the opposite of what. So in any case, she basically set the tea leaf. The media covered it like it was no tomorrow. Trump comes back from India, and all of a sudden this has become, you know, the massive problem. So that's the CDC. NIH is run by Fauci. Fauci's photographed with Bill Gates and Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton, wrote love letters to Hillary Clinton and Cheryl Mills. And he's just been in bed with the deep state, and he and Deborah Birx have been working together since the 80s. They're part of the cabal. There's this thing called PARFR. It's USAID and AIDS in Africa, and Bono was involved, and there was a lot of fraud. There was a lot of waste and abuse. Bill Gates has been a big part of this whole thing. That's why he gets pies thrown in his face, and people hate his guts. Because this is a guy that's been pushing vaccines that don't work. They want to control systems. Basically, what we're seeing play out globally here in terms of these vaccines and these pandemics that only the strong survive, it's not much different than what Hitler was perpetuating.
Right. It's the same thing.
Saw an Aryan race as the stronger race, and he wanted to kill off what he thought was the weaker race. Well, this COVID-19 is very much, it might as well be called Hitler 19.
Yeah, well, let me stop you for a second, because I want to go back to the relationship that is out there. We're talking about the relationship with Fauci and Birx to many of the different World Health Organizations that are out, and certainly with the Gates and all the other things. That we have an article actually up on a21r.com that explains in detail the relationship with Fauci and Birx to those organizations. And, you know, it's stunning, absolutely stunning. And I want to Amazing Polly was the one that we got this information from. So, and the title is AIDS U.S. $90 billion taxpayer dollars a global slush fund? It all comes out from PEPFAR, which is what you're talking about. And, of course, we're paying $90 billion a year in the U.S. government money to that. And it's all complete fraud.
And the guy that heads up the WHO is as corrupt as the day is long.
Oh, and he's the guy who came out with the 4% numbers and again, connect the dots there. Now, one of the other things that we're running a story on right now and we've been covering is where did this all come about? And we've been able to link it to a report by James Clapper that was done in 2013, which basically describes this whole situation in 2013, and our people have told us, our sources have told us, this is the plan that they foisted upon us. So it's not a difficult stretch to go to Rod Rosenstein's sister, roll this out. And again, we also want to go back to what happened in October. They ran sort of a little pre-drill, a dress rehearsal, with John Hopkins and everybody else about this whole situation with COVID-19.
The 201 project.
201 project, exactly.
And you know, it's so different too, because I'm going to finish my answer too. How much time do we have, by the way?
We got all the time in the world. I can just pull the pod down and not have the commercials.
I'm going to finish up my answer to what the president's answer was to the question of the journalist, right? Which was the transcript.
Good, good.
And then one of the things is that when you think about this, right? You think about, okay, let's look at Adam Schiff, when he had his in the basement Capitol thing going on, it was all in top secret. It was everything was sealed. You couldn't know anything that he was doing. Mueller had the same thing. So with regard to the Russian hoax, Mueller had a special counsel secret, untouchable. And then Adam Schiff comes out. He does a secret cabal in the basement of the Capitol. Again, top secret. And in both cases, it was a one-sided indictment. Meaning, like a grand jury indictment, you don't get to defend yourself. It's just the prosecutors get their say, and that's that, right?
Right.
So basically, Mueller and Comey had that their situation with Russian hoax. Then Adam Schiff had his situation with the Ukrainian call and the impeachment process. And then, and by the way, one other thing for the audience to note. There was only one day after Comey was fired that Rod Rosenstein hired Mueller. And then after Mueller finally shut it down and ruled nothing's, you know, that there was no finding, it was one day that they then had the call with the Ukraine and they tried to open that. So it's one day separating. Why is it? I mean, that's not by coincidence that they're so aggressively attacking our president. One day separated each one of those things. And this one wasn't even separated by a day, because if you think about it, the impeachment was going on all the way up until near February. And this thing happened where they had the 201 project in New York. 1 month later, you had the first case of COVID in November of 2019. That's why it's COVID-19. It's 2019. So they didn't even wait for the impeachment because they knew that the Senate was going to acquit. Right? They knew that.
Right. Our sources tell us, just a little side note, the stretch between 2013 and 19, the COVID-19 was labeled 19 to basically throw people off the track of the 2013 to give them cover. And this is a very, very, very high source that told me this, which is an intelligent source. Go ahead.
The president knows what's going on, right? He knows that Fauci and Birx are in on this right. same kind. It's the same kind of attack as what they've been doing against Trump since the very beginning. All right. So I said what it means. Real Donald Trump has the numbers, but he would rather have Fauci and Birx give you the answer and basically own their data so that once Abbott Labs quick tests that decentralized data from the liberals at CDC and NIH and put control back to the doctor patient, they will have to explain why the tests are yielding different data sets that produce models that are far less doom and gloom than the data sets produced by Fauci and Birx. They're using exponential data models, by the way, and it's very akin to climate change and how 97% of the scientists were using doom and gloom data points to propagate their control over populations, much like they're trying to do now. And so climate change and this are very similar. Add the effective treatment of hydroxychloroquine, which they've been trying to ban in Nevada, Michigan, and even in the city of New York or the state of New York. They're trying to ban this drug because this drug would flatten that curve like a steamroller. So hydroxychloroquine to the equation, and you have a much lower death rate. And then I finished up and I said, Sweden's business as usual decision poses another threat to the scientists, the so-called scientists, without posing a threat to Trump, because if their decision mm-hmm. is good, Trump's get back to work ASAP narrative will prove insightful. And if their decision is negative, Trump's trust the scientists will also prove correct. So Trump has actually put himself into the catbird seat by advocating getting back to work as soon as possible, because you can't let the cure be worse than the problem, right? And right. we know that to be true. But then now with Sweden showing a good example of their numbers actually not getting out of control, but without going to these same extremes, is actually going to be another way to illustrate that the scientists were wrong. So there's three things: Sweden's model of what they're doing, the Abbott Labs decentralization of the tests to take control out of the CDC and NIH, and the hydroxychloroquine with the Z-Pak. All three of those things are going to make this problem go away sooner than later, and it's going to expose the deep state cabal. And we're talking about Fauci and Birx as examples. We're going to expose them for actually getting it wrong from start to finish.
Well, and that leads all the way to the World Health Organization. So what we're talking about here, and again, I want to get back to that one story that we have out there, which is about the article that came by way of Amazing Polly under Corey's Digs, which is AIDS U.S. $90 billion taxpayer dollars a global slush fund? And this is exactly where all this stuff comes from. And the connected dots is well over $100 billion has siphoned off through the hands of individuals with scandalous histories, over $90 billion from the U.S. government's alone via PEPFAR. The U.S. government PEPFAR is the largest funder of any nation to a single disease in the world and the largest donor of the global fund to the tune of $90 billion to date. Despite this, due to the fact that the global fund is located in Geneva, Switzerland, it is not subject to U.S. taxation, jurisdiction, or law. In George W. Bush's 2006 executive order afforded the global fund additional exemptions, privileges, and immunities. And here's the other thing about this particular connect the dot to what you're talking about, is that this goes all the way to Clinton and George Bush Sr. I mean, there's a continuum after Reagan all the way up until today. It says three U.S. presidents, over 35 governments, and United whatever, UNDP, Global Fund, Gavi, and two other dozen nonprofits organizations, along with counties, countless smaller ones, have been cashing in for nearly two decades. Bill and Melinda Gates, Jeffrey Sachs, Kofi Annan, Emmer Adiron, listed as the founders of the Global Fund, but who really strategized and implemented its structure, its funding, and its immunity status. In 2015 alone, was awarded Chemtrade's $9.5 billion to fund supply chain programs, and only 7% of the drug shipments were delivered on time and in full. it just goes on and on and on. And, of course, this is who Fauci and Birx is connected with, this group here, because this is part of the Global AIDS Initiative, and that's their whole thing is the Global AIDS Initiative. They connected to that also. So has Mike Pence been connected to this.
Right, and he hired all these people. And, you know, here's the interesting thing, too. I just sent you a text, by the way.
Okay.
Check those three images out. Now, I got those because I was watching this last week with this amazing Polly thing.
Mm-hmm.
I took snapshots of my TV of this because I thought it was kind of important. And this is part of her presentation, and she said, Health Diplomacy Bulletin number 25, former PEPFAR Director Dybul, you know, we're talking about Mark Dybul, calls for doubling down on commitment to fight HIV/AIDS and country partners take more responsibility for funding. And then it says, Mark Dybul, more data showing no reduction in rates of HIV among young people for the past 15 years. That is a failure of HIV programs. And the fact is that he is demanding more money, even though they're not producing any results. Then you got this thing. It says the Coronavirus Task Force, VP Pence, Deborah Birx, Anthony Fauci, they direct information to Mark Dybul, who worked with Fauci to establish PEPFAR. Then there's the Global Fund, right? So there's the circle of fraud. There's PEPFAR, the Global Fund, the UNDP, and the Department of the State Department. So the State Department, which is involved with the CIA, which is involved with all the corruption that has been going on with the National Security Council, and which was the part and parcel of the Ukrainian corruption and a whole host of other things. The State Department, you remember that President Donald Trump talked to Pompeo in a press conference last week and said, well, as I like to call it,
the deeper state. Yeah, I remember that, the deeper state.
Yeah, and I know people in the State Department that hate Trump, that are liberal as the day is long, and they're just liberally wackos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really crazy. And, you know, the thing about liberals is the problem about liberals, because Republicans don't attack liberals the way they attack Republicans. They make stuff up. Like, they forge yearbooks. They pull people out of the woodwork and say that you raped them and all this different stuff. You know, it's just weird stuff. They make it up and they lie to destroy your life. Personally, they don't ever want to debate issues. They don't ever want to work with unity. And I actually have to say, I blame Barack Obama for a lot of this, because, you know, you got all these liberals out attacking the president when we need to be united right now. And yet, you know, PJ Media came out with an article saying, hey, flashback, the day that that Obama declared a national emergency, which was 4.5 months after the WHO declared a pandemic with the swine flu, he went play golf that day. Could you imagine if Trump was out playing golf today? I mean, it's just ridiculous, the double standard as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing that, you know, you would never think that this sort of thing would be happening, but it is actually happening, you know. It has been happening.
And by the way, nothing for nothing, but, you know, I'll tell you, I'm just going to share my gut feeling about Chris Cuomo. I think he's faking it. It's just too convenient. It gives him ratings. People want to check in and see. He uses this disease, this virus, to talk to Dr. Gupta and say, you were right. And then he's got this kumbaya moment going on, talking about bass fishing with his brother, Andrew, mm-hmm. who's know, politicizing
the whole thing was bogus.
Yeah, no, the whole thing, and it's not would not be the first time these people lied about, you know, Trump, right? They're liars, and I'm tired and tired and sick and tired of accepting the words that come out of their mouth at this point, because they've lied so much. Like Rachel Maddow was embarrassed. There was a clown video going around where she was saying, those hospital ships aren't going to get there. Trump is lying to you. You shouldn't even cover the press conferences anymore because they're making his poll numbers go up. And sure enough, she was wrong. A week later, right on time, President Trump has these ships rolling in to New York Harbor and L.A. And again, like you said, they weren't even needed. Jacob Javits Center is empty. The MASH unit in Central Park is empty. And these ships are virtually empty. And I'm telling you, what's going on in New York, it's a ghost town. And there aren't any ambulances going anywhere.
Isn't that amazing? And, you know, here in California, it's the same thing. And there's all the articles that have popped up all over the place about, you know, what they don't have here in California. Which is patients in a hospital. And again, I want to many thanks to the citizen journalists. But the smoking guns here and the tell, so to speak, what's happening with, let's say, the Cuomo guys, the Cuomo boys, is, first of all, I've had this. And again, I reviewed this with my audience in the first hour. I've had this coronavirus, and the symptoms are exactly what I had in January. And a lot of other Californians did also. I just want to tell you that because I've, you know, in the catbird seat, I've been traveling up and down California and, of course, now talking to people all over the state. And many people I talked to already had it in December or January. And we've recovered. Everybody's alive. Everybody's, you know, happy. We suffered a lot. There's no question about it. But the bottom line is that we survived it. And, again, out here in California, people have said, you know, we first started to see the coronavirus. Now they're saying it. We first started to see the coronavirus in California. Well, what did that look like? And, of course, what it looked like is what we had. There's no question about it. The rest of the nation wasn't awakened to it. You know, there's speculation because we have such a high population of Chinese and there's so much activity between China and California that we were the first ones to get it. So, obviously, our rate of people getting it is really low, but the bottom line right now anyway, but the bottom line right now is that we don't have the 25.5 million people infected as being proclaimed by Gavin Newsom. Now let's go to the hysterics and histrionics of Cuomo in New York. Like you said, there's no sirens going on in New York City. I mean, come on. I mean, that's got to be driving some people absolutely nuts not to hear the sirens.
30,000 ventilators, and he has 2,000 in a stockpile. He's not, and then he had to admit he doesn't even need them right now.
I mean, this is turning into an enormous pack of lies. And again, look at the states that in which this is all happening. New York and California, the most liberal. The most flight out of the states, by the way, by the population itself, Californians and New Yorkers leaving in droves because of overtaxation. And basically, they're turning over as like de Blasio, like Newsom. Newsom released hundreds of other more prisoners, some of them just murderers, real murderers being released at this point in time, granted, you know, clemency. It's just amazing. But again, this is what liberals do. They're seeing of this crisis. They're exploiting the crisis. They're lying about it. And, of course, the big thing is the big lie is all over the place right now.
If you break it down by county, I broke down Virginia because that's where I'm located, in Arlington, inside the Beltway. And, you know, Northam is running the show here. We're getting emergency alerts on our phones and things like that. You take a look at the counties. It's all the counties Hillary won. I did a matchup. I mean, you could take the 2016 election outcome where it shows blue and red counties, you know, and it matches up perfectly with the COVID. So those county commissioners that are in bed with hating Trump are the ones that seem to be exaggerating the numbers. And in fact, you know, you take a look, and I always say this, they're saying that China and Iran were depressing the numbers, and we're saying that the United States is blowing up the numbers. And I say, if you could manipulate the numbers, which everybody admits that China and Iran are manipulating the numbers, if you could do that, you could do that here in the United States, and they, I believe, have done it. They've been attributing deaths to COVID when they shouldn't. In fact, the Gateway Pundit came out with a report and said, New York data confirms once again 99% of corona fatalities have pre-existing conditions, and 94% of the fatalities are people over the age of 45, and they're basically saying open the economy. And I just want to say one other thing, and that is this magazine, anti-empire.com. It's pretty cool, and they're covering this big time, and they said, please stop saying Sweden is the one taking the gamble. There's nothing safe about this unprecedented social experiment. When did impersonating Pol Pot become the safe option? And by that, there was another report by Bryant University, bryant.edu. They came out with a report and said that the economic strife and depression and loss and despair can result in as high as 853,000 deaths worldwide, as suicide, drug dependency, you name it, you know, a whole host of things. And they put this study, and I'm just saying, two can play at that game. If you want to fudge the numbers, I could fudge the numbers too. And it's turning out to be that one is worse than the other, and the worst is not the COVID. It's the cure, the so-called cure.
Yep. You know, that's this whole thing, Scott, as it's breaking down, I see it ending badly for the principal players here in the next week or so. And Easter, I think Easter is the turnaround date for a lot of this. The lies have to continue. And it's clearly, you know, we're ahead of the curve. We know that. Especially when it comes to these leaders, because, you know, they don't pay any attention to us. I'm starting to take a little bit of that back a little bit, because I've been getting some blowback from the New California folks. But these people, the Newsom, they're in their own world, because, you know, they think they've duped us, they've fooled us. Yet the facts are the facts, the data is the data. And quite frankly, Scott, I mean, some of this stuff is just basic data that they blew. I mean, did they not think that we weren't going to sit down and do a few calculus problems? I mean, come on. Or just addition, subtraction. I mean, you know, basic arithmetic. Did they think that most people, in their arrogance, wouldn't do some of the basics?
Well, before Trump, I think that we were living in a world where they got away with this stuff.
Right.
And they didn't have to actually fight back so hard, because they were never tested. It goes back to the whole thing, like of the Walter Cronkite, Peter Jennings, Dan Rather, all these liberals that were our anchors. We just took it for granted that they were selling us the truth. And now we know differently. And so what's happened is they have to now fight harder, to the point where they actually literally need to take the veil off and expose themselves for who they are. And so there's no, you know, question. Don Lemon still thinks he's fair and balanced, and, you know, and so does Rachel Maddow and all these other losers. But they're not. You know, it's so obvious that they hate Donald Trump because he stands in the way of the political correct world that they were dictating and controlling. And Trump has changed everything. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. But a former Obama advisor, David Plouffe.
David Plouffe.
Massive turnout for Trump in November. Huge disadvantage for Biden, who can't string sentences together. But I think that with this extension and this delay to the DNC to August 17th, I think what's going to end up happening is it's going to give Andrew Cuomo more time to try to maybe get in on that race. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think they trotted him out as an alternative voice to Biden, and they're right now trying to distance themselves from Biden, and it's all part of the plot to get Cuomo in there. But Cuomo, I mean, God, he's going to be characterized, especially now with this. This is even worse. But, you know, the governor of, you know, here's what they probably are looking at. They're looking at Cuomo as president and Newsom as vice presidential candidate. That's what I think they're looking at. But go ahead, bring it on. So, I mean, we're more than happy to make that whole thing happen. Of course, it's not going to work out well for Newsom. I'm telling you, New California is the noose around his neck, given the Trump rope. No question about it. No question about it. We see it plainly. It's like, you know, when we had our sixth constitutional convention, a slight little thing going on, we brought out Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee came out and basically said, we're going to be a state very soon. He said that. That's a quote. And to the raging applause of the 500 assembled, it was just amazing. But, you know, we found out later that Huckabee didn't fly back to Tennessee. He went to Sacramento and had a little conversation with Gavin Newsom. And I'm not going to share the content, but from what I hear, it wasn't a very good experience for Gavin Newsom. But here he is right now doing his thing. He's feel lovey-dovey towards Trump and real happy. At least he's saying his plaudits, you know, on the national media. But actually here in California, he's just as evil as he possibly can be. And, of course, we're going to put him in check on that. The point is he's trying to pander, I think, to the national audience, just like Cuomo is. And I think that's their ticket. If they can get, you know, these two guys, one from the East Coast, one from the West Coast, and that would just sort of wipe out the marks of Biden and, of course, Bernie Sanders.
Absolutely. And, you know, the mainstream media just has all these things so wrong. They're wrong on all these different things. Let me just read you three little tweets. Ryan Saavedra says, reporter is hounding Trump on why he is not doing more to help the world's leading state sponsor of terror, Iran. And Benny's on the Twitter, right? And he says, only one country chants death to the other country. So why would we ever want to? And then Navarro says this. He says, Peter Navarro says, one of the things that this crisis has taught us is that we are dangerously over-dependent on a global supply chain. Never again should we be dependent on the rest of the world for essential medicines and countermeasures. That spells doom for China, believe it or not. And basically, the answer to that was globalism is dead. And, you know, the thing is that this every single thing that's happening right now, whether it be Trump's securing our borders or bilateral arrangements, pulling out of globalist multilateralism like TPP or the Paris Accord and climate change and all these different things, Trump's decisions are proving to be more right today than they ever were before.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. I want to go on to another story that, you know, the One American News story that the people have thrown our nice little Miss Leon out of the press conferences. She's one of your favorites. Become everybody's favorite, the darling of One American News. But your thoughts on her being thrown out?
Yeah, well, they hate the question she was asking. She was asking a question about Iran and their underreporting of data. Number one, and number two, it was basically exposing that all this data is fake, right? Is what she was alluding to. The countries could say anything, right?
Sure.
And this is what the media was trying to hide, And they were also she also critiqued the media for selling Chinese propaganda a week prior. So they were sick and tired of her, and they decided to take a vote and write up a letter and say she was no longer welcome back into this cycle. And so she was standing without a seat because she was invited by Stephanie Grisham. And Stephanie Grisham's the press secretary for the White House. And so when that happened, Stephanie Grisham today or last night basically said no. Chanel Rios from One American News, who has been photographed with the president on multiple occasions, has been to Mar-a-Lago. The president adores this girl.
Right.
And she's not going anywhere anytime soon, trust me. Because One American News is really, I mean, if you think about it, if Trish Regan were to go over to One America News and then you were to get Hannity and Tucker to go over there, it would be game over, lights out for Fox.
Listen,
News.
Listen, this is a top secret project. You're not supposed to talk about it on air.
That's the beautiful thing about Red State Talk Radio, right?
Right.
You know, come and get some, okay?
Get your intelligence report, Red State Talk Radio. Yep. This is, and actually, she is absolutely a darling, but she's asking the right questions all the time. And these are the questions, you know, the first time she came out, I don't know, months ago when she asked a question that really rankled the press corps, you could just see the looks on their faces like, she can't be asking that. And she does that all the time. She does it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a beautiful thing. I remember that moment. My jaw fell open. And I was like, holy, you know, and then I said the S word. Holy. And yeah, I was like, oh, my God, so great.
Yeah, so who we're talking about, for those of you who don't know, ONN, it's One America News Network, who I've been featured on, by the way, several times, and I really appreciate the coverage for New California State. Chanel Rion is her name. In the article that is on Gateway Pundit that Scott is alluding to, says allegedly violated in-house rules by twice showing up at the briefing without an assigned seat, and the seating for the press has been limited due to the CDC guidelines on social distancing. I love the social distancing business. You know, that's just amazing. It says the seating of the press has been limited due to the CDC guidelines. Because of this COVID virus, Chinese coronavirus pandemic, Rion has attended the briefings as a guest of White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham. And I think that's just awesome that Stephanie, hey, we can't not have her, you know. And this is the kind of, I don't know, almost said something very inappropriate on the radio. This is the kind of BS, though. There you go. I said it cleanly. That really drives me absolutely crazy about the media excluding, you know, other media forms like us, you know, discriminating against people like us and saying we're not real media. And, of course, the Gavin Newsom of the world and all these kind of people who have no people around them other than selected people. You know, watch, if you want to see something really freaky, Scott, watch a Gavin Newsom press conference, because, like, he's recently been having people call in, reporters call in, right? Nobody's in the room. You don't have any reporters, but you have call-in numbers for the reporters. And, of course, it's always the same four or five reporters that get to ask the questions. And this goes all the time through everything he does. He doesn't open it up to general questions by most mainstream reporters, and they never get a chance to ask a question. And Katie Grimes of the California Globe has sued them several times over this discrimination that goes on. Drives me nuts, and of course that's what they're trying to do with Ms. Rion here, and it's not working because the president sees through it.
They're pulling out all the stops too. I know we only have a minute. Do we have a minute?
Yep, go ahead.
So Valerie Jarrett, you know, she comes out and she said, "Yeah, I'm at a point, Paul. I got to tell you where I'm getting angry. I'm fighting back. I'm taking the brass knuckles, putting them back on. I want to do Smash Mouth. You know, I'm just tired. I've taken enough slaps across the face. I'm tired. I want to fight back." And so Valerie Jarrett says, "Someone asked me today, how would Barack Obama have handled this crisis? Of course, we know how he handled swine flu. Answered in one word, better. Okay, two words, much better." So I responded to her and I said, "Did you mean that Barack Hussein would have done a better job like he didn't with swine flu?
Yeah, right.
With swine flu? Or did you mean a better blank job because his wife Michael told you so?"
Oh no. Yeah, it's
I just want to start swinging for the fences, you know what I mean?
Well, and the thing is that they're going to try, you can see this whole thing lining up. You have Nancy Pelosi wants to impeach him, Adam Schiff wants to do an investigation such as the 9/11 investigation and that sort of thing. And, of course, that dog's not going to hunt. They want to try and impeach the president. They want to try and pin all this on the president. And the reality check is the president is just doing his job. He's listening to all these people, and they're all lying to him. And they're in the world and everybody else, and he's exposed it. You know, he gave them the rope, and they've hung themselves. And there you go. Anyway, Scott, how can we get a hold of you?
ScottAppleShow.com, and also redstatetalkradio.com.
That's right. And say hi to your better half, Leonora.
I will.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay, Scott Adams, the Scott Adams Show here on Red State Talk Radio and Agenda 21 Radio. Got another hour left here of Agenda 21 Radio, so stay with us. A lot more coming at you. We're going to talk a lot about Gavin Newsom. Anyway, thanks for listening, and stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.